This audio recording is brought to you by ListenUpNorth.com as part of Emily Inspires and was recorded at Radio Northumberland. 2013 is the centenary of a moment that changed history, when suffragette Emily Wilding Davison was struck by the King's Racehorse at the Epsom Derby on the 4th of June 1913 as she protested for votes for women. Although her birthplace was Greenwich in London, Emily's family was deeply rooted in Northumberland, only moving south shortly before her birth. After the death of her father, Emily and her mother Margaret returned to the county, to the village of Longhorsley. Emily viewed herself as a true daughter of Northumberland, returning regularly for recuperation between bouts of suffragette action, including imprisonment and brutal force-feeding. Emily was a prolific writer and was committed to giving people a voice. And ListenUpNorth.com and Emily Inspires wanted to reflect this in the National Writing Competition. We wanted to give people an opportunity to write and to have a voice through their writing. We asked people to imagine that it was just after Emily's final departure from her mother's home in Longhorsley, as she left Northumberland by train for Epsom Derby. We wanted them to write their thoughts and feelings through the eyes of Emily, or Emily's mother Margaret, or their neighbour Bob, who often drove Emily to Morpeth railway station. And here are the winning entries for you to hear. Firstly, the thoughts of Emily's mother Margaret in Lion-Hearted Lass by Kirsten Friersleben, second in the national category.
She turned in the doorway, my brave headstrong lass, with that smile she gives before one of her undertakings. Mischievous, maybe a little grim after all she's done and seen. Her life force flows out like water, headlong down the street. Waving, I fear for her. But she won't be turned. She knew from when she was small what was right and true. Our spirited child, in my mind's eye, racing, always on a bicycle. I'm equal to any boy, she'd spit, laughing into her destiny. Unafraid. Suffrage, they call it. Measured on merit, first class, the university's called her. But I stop my ears to names that fly after her now. With words and stones, she'll educate their minds and hearts. Somehow. Proud I am, though she never could take no, and always why. Why should she be the property of another and worth so much less? I weep in secret. The weaker sex, not my Emily, not she. I close the door with heavy heart. London's no place for Northumberland's daughter or a prison cell. And she knows it, my pretty soldier without a sword. With her iron-hard resolve, she forges women an equal future.
Now, Emily's Goodbye by Pippa Little, second in the Northumberland category.
You don't know yet, Mother, but I stole your pearl earring. My fists closed round it in my pocket, as we hug goodbye. You'll find it gone, this evening when you're dressing. 6 guests expected. Please forgive me, I can't say why. Only that I did. You don't know how it feels to want so much. A different world. An ache to be the one. To change it. I leave you my muddy skirt and all my petticoats. My so short daughterhood. When they drag me from that sweet sprung turf, they'll have to prise my knuckles open one by one. Then perhaps you'll know how hard I wanted to come home.
Here are the thoughts of Bob, written by Alison Davies. This entry was first in both the National and Northumberland categories.
She's determined and strong, I'll give her that. like a little spuggy she is, not a picking on her. Yet she lifted the Gladstone bag from the back of the motor as though it was only filled with feathers. Weighed a ton when I took it from her at the door. And there'd be nowt useful inside, I'll warrant. Full of books and pamphlets. Votes for women splashed across the front in green ink. She's been in prison up London way. Refused her victuals, so they fed her through a tube like a fancy French goose. Daft lass. She wants to think of her mam and settle herself. Not go carrying on like this. Votes for women. If Mr. Asquith has his way, she and the rest of them will be a long time waiting. When I called for it, she had one of those rosettes pinned to her lapel. Bonny colours. Green and purple like Simonside heather in summer. As the car crested along Horsley Moor, a gust of wind reached in and tore it from her jacket, sent it fluttering away towards the coast. There was a C fret coming in, and for a second or two that bright ribbon flashed out against white cloud like a spark of something beginning. Then it was gone. She doesn't smile much, but she did then.
Now I shall have to find another means of provoking debate on the train.
Aye, lass, I'm not much of a one for debate myself.
So I can't recruit you to the cause, Bob?
It's not for the likes of me to say.
That's the point. It's for the likes of all to have our say. Men and women both.
Then we're at Morpeth Station, and out she gets, and away.
She'll Come Home. A poem on the thoughts of Margaret. Written by Jennifer Knights, and third in the national category.
She'll come home, she always does. Worse for wear, thinner, more strained, limping back, pale but never broken, fire in her eyes. My child, the lawless lassie, she'll come back smiling, trying to keep something from me. I know. She burned so brightly, fighting to learn. Working and studying, and for what? Throwing her pearls of wisdom before swine? Hurling rocks at politicians? Deeds, not words, screaming and shouting. And singing. Shoulder to shoulder. She's travelled. From the dreaming spires to the stench of strange ways. And come home to heal again. And again. I am proud of my militant girl. This woman I can no longer understand. There's no point in shame. Nor stopping her. Nor stopping till her dying day. Watching her disappear, I pray silently. She'll come home. She always does.
Back to the thoughts of Bob again, and this entry entitled Emily by Gillian Howe won a promising new writer award.
I worry about this, lass. How many more times will I fetch her from the station, coming home to be patched up again? She looks so frail sometimes, but they say she's as tough as old boots, and how many times can you repair old boots? I don't know what makes her tick, or why she sometimes looks so sick. I worry about this lass, still young in years but old in experience. Why can't she find a nice young man to care for her and settle down? I take her to the station and off she goes again, with her banner, Votes for Women, down to the London smoke, with dangerous and unfriendly folk. I worry about this lass. I've known her since she was nubbed a bairn, seen her grow in strength and stubbornness, face the self-righteous and mighty, a voice demanding to be heard, wanting freedom of expression, a say in her own destiny, and who knows what that may be. I worry about this, lass. How many more times will I take her to the station, going off so valiantly, leaving behind her mam, who hides her heartache, proud of her girl, wishing she could protect her from the heartlessness and cruelty of this world. Emily is a small, caged bird, singing for the right to be heard. I worry about this lass, so bravely defying authority. No matter what they do to her or how often they throw her in jail, let them do their worst. I'm sure her courage will continue to inspire others. I'm just a simple chap. I help out where I can. Knowing Emily has made me a better man. I worry about this lass and what today may bring. She's been very quiet about her plans, just holds her suffrage ribbon in her little hands. Off to the races, Bob, she says, to see the king's horse run. I'll have a wager on him before the day is done.
Finally, a poem. 4th of June, 1913. Emily's Thoughts on Leaving Northumberland for Epsom by Chris Righteous. Third in the Northumberland category.
I must remember this day when I'm grown old. The coolness of the morning, the feel of my dear mother's cheek when I kissed her goodbye. I shall remember the smell of May trees, still in bloom, late this year. Then the drive to the station with our kind neighbour Bob, and the laughter of the three little girls in their red and white dresses, their excitement as they waited on the platform, clutching their dolls. I am calm, sitting silent in my corner, my hand deep in my pocket, fingers feeling the rough canvas of the banner. The sound of the wheels of the train is a rhythm to my ears. The train spells it out for me. This is the day, the Epsom Derby. This is the day, the Epsom Derby. Deeds not words, deeds not words. Today, the king's horse shall wear our banner. All men shall read it, all men shall note it. The Women's Social and Political Union. It is time. It is our time. It is their time. To give us suffrage. Suffrage. Indeed, we have suffered much for suffrage. Prison. Starvation. Forced feeding. A month's hard labour in strange ways is like 2 long years. But I did not let them see I suffered. We have put up with much. The jeering of men, the cruelty of guards, the indifference of many women. We must protest. We must obtain the vote. I am Emily Wilding Davison. Today, I shall make my mark, so that in 50 years, in 100 years, people will still remember me. It is your time now, Emily. Step off the train. Step off the train. Into your destiny.
That audio recording was brought to you by listenupnorth.com as part of Emily Inspires and was recorded at Radio Northumberland. The role of Emily was read by Lauren Casely, a descendant of Emily Davison. Margaret was read by Penny Blythe Jones, coordinator of Emily Inspires. Bob was read by Graham Trotter, and the narrator was Rachel Cochran of listenupnorth.com.